This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Makes me lie down. Green pastures leads me beside the still waters, and that he restores my soul. Praise the Lord. In fact, I want to talk to you about restoration. And I'm going to come from a slightly different angle, but if we can just read the scripture in Joel. So turn to Joel. And chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 25. It says, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God." God's a God of restoration. He restores things. Isn't that good? How many, when you're first saved, you get such an incredible excitement about what God is in the process of doing? He's restoring. And, well, in your notice sheet, you have the scriptures printed out there as well. So, again, there's Acts chapter 3, where Peter stood up and preached, and he told them to repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Well, that's a lot of things, isn't it? You know, the whole heaven and earth is going to be restored. That's pretty incredible. And we have a huge excitement about what God's restoring. Well, that issue about in Joel, where he talks about the different locusts that come and just devour all of their crops. That was what was happening in Israel. All of the crops were being destroyed, so there was no joy, there was no wine. The fig trees were ruined, the vine was ruined, all the barley and wheat harvests were eaten up as well. And so you can imagine they didn't have a lot of joy because there was no food whatsoever. It was all being consumed, and yet God said he's going to restore to them even the years that those destroying locusts had taken away from them. And, you know, well, that had stolen. He wants to restore what's been stolen. And God wants to restore to you what's been stolen from you. You know, in Exodus 22, the Bible says that when a thief is found, that whatever he's stolen, he's got to restore double. He's got to restore. So that's in the law. He's got to restore double. Well, we know that Jesus said in John 10:10, he said the thief comes, the only reason he comes is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Well, that's good news, isn't it? Right, now I want to go, keep all that in mind, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And how many have experienced that in your life? All Christians experience the devil coming, and it's just one objective. He wants to steal what you have. He wants to destroy it, and he wants to kill. All right, but Jesus has come that we might have life. So go to Mark chapter 9. Right, we're going to start. This is a story of a man who has a son who's demon-possessed, and this demon keeps throwing the boy into the fire to kill him or into the water, trying to drown him. And this man brought his son to the disciples. This is while Jesus had gone up on the mountain with three of the disciples. He took his son to the disciples that were still around at that time and asked if they could heal him, and they couldn't do it. So when Jesus came back down on the scene, there was a whole crowd there of people, and the Pharisees were there, and they were disputing about what was going on. And he asked, what's going on? And verse 17 says, one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Can you imagine what this father's going through? It's like he's tried everything. Jesus said, how long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood. And just the words of this father, he's got to the point where he's lost hope. He's basically lost hope. And so the words that came out of his mouth when he speaks to Jesus is, if you can do anything. I don't know about you, but do you ever have that times when the devil comes and it's like it's year after year and trying to wear you down, and he's stolen something from you, and you began believing that it was going to be restored. You began believing that that's going to be restored to you, made right. And yet, because of the pressure, because of the disappointments that came on year after year, the canker worm, the palmer worm, the destroying worm, all these locusts which speak about demonic activity, we are in a warfare. We are. And the fight is all about what? Our faith. That's the issue. The issue is our faith. And it's incredibly precious. The Bible says more precious than gold, our faith. That's how precious we are. By grace we are saved, by faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. See, each one of you and me have been given a gift, and that faith is conditional on the word of God that says he's going to restore everything. Everything's going to be restored. I mean, that's good news, isn't it? That's what the Bible's all about. That's what the gospel is all about. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, that which was destroyed, that which was taken away. He's come to save us. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So the issue of your life and my faith is paramount. But it's come to the stage in this man's life where all he can say is, if you can do anything, please help me. If you can do anything. Jesus turned it totally around, said, if you can believe, all things are possible. We've got a God who can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. So I don't know what you need restoring. It might be health that you need restoring. The Bible talks about our souls being restored. You know, and God wants to, Jesus has come to restore your health, restore strength to you, restore hope for you, that nothing is too hard for him. And look at the stories. In Genesis, God gives Abraham a promise and to Sarah that they're going to have a child in their old age. And Sarah, I mean, that was so beyond what was reasonable, she laughs. She laughs. And then God actually challenges Abraham and says, is there anything too hard for God? Is there? Have you ever thought that? Is there anything too hard for God? Well, we know the Bible says there isn't. So, of course, we say, no, there's not. But what about in your heart? What about your faith? What about what your faith is saying? Is there anything too hard for God? Are there areas in your life where the devil has stolen and taken something away, and you can't believe for that to be restored because it's just too late. I'm too old. The circumstances are too far removed for that to ever be a possibility. But God's saying, is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah was told by God, actually Jeremiah the prophet was told by God that all of Israel was going to be overrun because of their sin by the Babylonians and everything was going to be lost. And yet right in the middle of that, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and says, okay, Jeremiah, a certain man's going to come to you while he's in prison too, by the way. That would talk about the devil trying to condition. Here he's in prison. He says, a certain man's going to come to you and he's going to ask you to redeem a certain plot of land, to buy it, in other words, because he's the nearest relative. And so Jeremiah knows, the man comes and Jeremiah and God said to him, you redeem the land, do it. And so he does all this. He's buying this plot of land. He says, well, hang on, the Babylonians are going to take all of this away. What am I doing this for, buying a block of land in a land that's going to be taken over by the Babylonians? I'm going to lose it anyway. And he asked God. He said, well, you know, why are you doing that? And God challenges Jeremiah and says, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And he begins to speak about restoring all of Israel, restoring all their land, restoring all back to them again. You know, God is a God of restoration. He has thoughts and plans for you and me to do us good, to give us an expected end. He's got thoughts for your future and my future to give us a hope. He was a man who said, if you can do anything. He'd just about given up hope. Not quite. He'd just about given up. And we can be at that place because of the ravages of the enemy where he comes to steal. He wants to restore to you the years that the enemy has taken away. He wants to restore that to you and give it to you. And the key is, can you believe? Can you believe? And you know, sometimes most of the time, like that man, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I believe. Isaiah 42. And reading verse 22. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. And they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one says restore. I want you and I to start saying restore. Start speaking it into your heart, speaking it into your mind, because we serve a God of restoration who will restore all things. He wants to restore your family. He wants to restore your fortunes. He wants to restore because God has blessed you with, and in fact, in this church, he wants to restore so much. You know, in Israel, when Joel talked about restoration, he was talking about the harvest basically being plundered. And all of those, the fig tree talks about, that's symbolic of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The vine is symbolic of unity. You know, the unity that is ours by inheritance. So the things in the church that we've got to stand and believe for to be restored. The unity that Jesus prayed for. That we might be one as he and the Father are one. He's going to do that. Can we believe for that? Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Sometimes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, because when I look at what's the ravages of the enemy, I find it very difficult to believe. Help my unbelief. He wants to restore the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we've had the tongues and words of knowledge this morning, that word that came out, cry out to Israel that her warfare is over. We've got one who has won the battle. And the only battle that's left for us is simply to believe. That's the battle it's all about. We're believing what he has done. Not might do. If you can do anything, please help us. You know, often we think death, well, that's the odd once. You know, people that have faced death, when you face death, that's impossible. Would you say that? God's saying, is there anything too hard for me? You know, when Jesus came to Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus was dead, he came to a situation where all hope was gone, totally gone. There's no future. There's no hope. There's no hope for him being restored. He's dead. And he comes into this circumstance and situation, and people there are saying, this man who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have done something for this man? Well, God wants to show us that he can do much more than something. He can do all things. There is nothing too hard for him. And often we need to face that spirit of death that says it's impossible. That's what we're fighting. A lot of people say, I'm not afraid of dying. Well, that's not the issue. That spirit of death is impossible. There is no future beyond here. Give up all hope. It's impossible. And so Martha and Mary both come to Jesus and both say, yeah, I know that he will rise up at the resurrection at the last day. Yeah, I know that's going to happen. But right now, all hope is gone. That's it. And you know what Jesus said to Martha? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am right now. And he said, if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. How many of us want to see the glory? I want to see the glory. I want to see God restoring people's lives that have been so destroyed and so devastated. I want to believe for that and actually go in and speak to people. God's going to restore you. There's none saying restore. Are you saying restore? You know, have you got that bold? It's not about you. It's about what he's done. It's believing what he has done and telling people that message, that he can restore. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to set the captives free. This is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. They're hidden in prison houses. They're for prey, and no one delivers for plunders and no one plunder, and no one says restore. Well, Jesus has come, and he's saying restore. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are what? Bound. He's going to open the eyes of the blind. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, it's fantastic to see people healed, you know, physically. But sometimes we have a spiritual blindness. You know that? That's why Paul prayed that we should have the eyes of our heart enlightened, that we might know him and see what he's actually done for us and be aware of the power that's available to us, what? Because we believe. The exceeding greatness of his power. The same power that he used to raise Christ from the dead. Okay, he's faced death and he's conquered. So how bold should we be? How confident should we be? Well, God wants to restore your families. He wants to restore your fortunes. He wants to restore to you the giftings. How many have operated in the giftings and you need to operate again? Because that's what builds up this church. We're Thursday. Can I say that, Frank? Thursday, we had our home away from home and praying, and Frank just testified that God has spoken to him about the gift of tongues that he'd given him. That he was to continually exercise that gift because it had been lying dormant for a while, hadn't it? And he'd given you that for a reason. It's, you're shy. That's okay. But see, God's going to use those things to restore lives. You know, what about the gifts of healing? The gifts of healing, they're in this church. Yeah? Stir them up. Begin to use them. Because he's going to restore people. He wants to heal people. Discerning of spirits, things that are binding people up, lies that the enemy has sown into people's mind and said, it's hopeless for you. It will never happen for you. And God wants to use you to discern that spirit and actually break that spirit out of a person's life and give them hope. You know, give them a different spirit. Tell them what God has said over their lives, because he wants to restore. He wants to restore you. There's three, I'm just going to refer to this. There's three stories in the Bible about restoration. One, I'll just give you the scripture, 2 Kings 8 and verses 1 to 6. Remember the Shunammite woman who recognized that Elijah was a man of God and made a house for him and a room for him, and a son died, and then he came and raised her from the dead. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 8, Gehazi, Elijah's servant, is talking to the king of Israel and telling him all the wonderful miracles that Elisha had done. And he's talking about this woman and how Elijah had raised her son from the dead. And just as he's talking to her, she comes in the door. She'd gone away for 7 years because Elisha had told her to go away for 7 years because there's going to be a famine. And she came back at that day when she's been spoken about to see whether she could get her land back. And she comes in before the king, and Gehazi said, that's the woman that I'm telling you about. And so the king says, okay, all her land, give her back to her, restore it back to her. And he says, not only that, but all the produce of the land for those 7 years that she was away, restore it back to her. So doesn't that give you hope about how God wants to restore? He wants to restore over and above what's been stolen from you. The devil's stolen things and he wants to restore it. Naomi, in the book of Ruth, Naomi was a lady who'd given up all hope. She'd gone away from the land of Israel to the Moabites. And her husband died, her two sons died, and when she came back with her daughter-in-law to Israel, they said, oh, this is Naomi. Her name means pleasant. She said, don't call me pleasant anymore. Call my name bitterness. She said, I went out full. I've come back. I've lost everything. And her daughter-in-law restored her life. It says in Ruth 4:14, that she's a restorer of her life and a nourisher of her in her old age. She actually restored all her fortunes. And the last one I want to look at is Job 42, and you can turn there with me. We all know the story of Job. Talk about loss. Talk about things that were stolen from him. What did Job get stolen? What did Job get stolen? Absolutely everything. He got everything stolen. All his children were killed. Everything was stolen. And he goes through this dealing of God. And if we can look at verse, where is it? Verse 10. And after going through all of this dealing, verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Twice as much, all his goods. The only thing, and this Derek Prince brought this out one day, the only thing he didn't give him twice as much of was sons and daughters. And the reason for that, he gave them the same number again, because he never lost the first ones. They might have died, but he never lost them. They're with the Lord, because he would always be praying for them. So the Lord restored double to Job, everything that he'd lost when he prayed for his friends. How good's that? And that's the key. We're to pray for one another. And I want to pray this morning. We've got some prayer needs.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website
or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.